I'm ready, I'm going.
No way.
Do we have to stand up?
No, we don't have to stand. I know three hammers usually means stand. Good evening, everybody. We are starting a few minutes late for a couple of reasons. One is that our meeting room was occupied for the Rules Committee, which I serve on, and I apologize for that. But we are in our new room, and this is going to work fine for us. So I'd like to call to order the Joint Special Committee on Healthcare Transformation for what will be our last Special Committee on Healthcare Transformation. I want to again thank all those that have been working very hard on this process from the get-go, recognizing that our actions today could possibly move this to the next committees for some additional work. I think that there is a good piece of legislation that has been worked, recognizing there is still yet work that needs to be done. And with that, I would open a work session on House Bill 3650 and ask our great committee administrator to give us a brief recap.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. House Bill 3650. Yes. In brief, the bill does establish the Oregon Integrated Coordinated Healthcare Delivery System and sets up a framework by which the Oregon Health Authority would come back in February to present the global budget and criteria, and also has a lot of other stipulations in the bill regarding basically what the how it will be set up, the parameters, and around the criteria. And you do have in front of you the Dash 4 amendments. This does modify the bill considerably. It replaces the original bill. Basically just provides a lot of tweaks, and you did hear about the bill, the amendment last week, so I won't recap that. There's a summary in front of you there.
Thank you. And with that, I would entertain a motion.
Co-Chair Freeman, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated 5/11/11.
So, Senator Mona Sanderson, Co-Chair Mona Sanderson, moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated 5/11/11. I hate to say this part. Is there any discussion?
I would like to just briefly say we had so many amendments coming in. And there is no way that we could, first of all, Lori, conform the new amendments to the amendment that we really hadn't adopted yet. And also, we know that all of these amendments that have been submitted will definitely be entertained in the Ways and Means process.
Is this the time for comments, or is after the time for comments?
Just for the pleasure of the committee, it is my intent, after this bill moves, if it moves, to allow each member to do a closing statement on all the great work that we've done, and feel free to comment on any further work that may need to be done.
Okay.
Then let's move the bill. Any further discussions on the Dash 4?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Kotick.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So will I take it that we won't be entertaining any of the modestly short amendments that we have in front of us from, I believe, members of the committee? Would that be true?
That is my intent today, and I recognize there is everything from grammatical errors that need to be corrected to very small technical fixes to some fairly major policy changes that are in the set of what is somewhere in the neighborhood of another additional 20 amendments. So I think that there's, as I stated, work yet to be done for a final product, but the time is short, and as you know, in the Ways and Means process, we are under a gun to have some numbers put together, and this will allow the folks in Ways and Means to continue this work but allow the fiscals to catch up with the process.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Okay, with no further discussion, any objections? Seeing none, the amendments pass.
Co-Chair Freeman, I move House Bill 3650 as amended with the Dash 4 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
So, Co-Chair Moss Anderson moves House Bill 3650 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Do we need authority to move that? Do we have the authority to move that?
Yes. We do have a letter approval from the co-speakers, and it'll be up to the President to approve it on the Senate side from his office.
All right. So is there any further discussion? Let's go ahead and do a roll call vote, please.
Representative Kotek?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Morse?
Aye.
Co-Chair Greenlick?
Aye.
Co-Chair Moniz Anderson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Freeman?
Aye. Okay, the motion passes, and the bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you. Now what I'd like to do is to allow the committee members, much as we started this process, to spend a couple minutes recapping the process and making sure everybody's aware of the issues that they have yet to be resolved in the Ways and Means process. And I would love to start on the Senate side with Senator Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Two things. I think first I'd like to address the Dash 14 amendment that we have discussed in previous sessions, where it was my sense that the committee agreed that that counties should be able to be a CCO if they met the other criteria. The Dash 14 amendment would clarify that, and I hope that we will consider that in the Ways and Means Committee once it gets down there, that Senator Bates and the others will. Also, I wanted to just put on the record that as this bill moves forward, if there's one thing that I've seen in the Healthcare Policy Committee, it's that emergency department utilization is a very big factor in what is driving the cost of healthcare. And to address that, we're going to have to make sure that primary care is well supported moving forward, and I hope that that becomes part of any package that moves out of Ways and Means. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Senator Shields. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I appreciate all the work that people have put into this over the last 3 months.
Like a lifetime, but maybe that's right.
Time goes fast when you're having fun. I think the bill, from my perspective, still needs a considerable amount of work, and I'm willing to put in the time to do it. From little things like the carve-out in the original bill and in the Dash 4 amendment of 7-Eleven drugs, I think that needs to be put back in. Some of my concerns, the bill, there's about 33 sections of the bill that are the real bill, and then about 30 sections that are conforming amendments. I question if this is a planning bill, what we're conforming to, I really do, and why we're changing so many RORSs, if indeed this is a planning bill. But in the first 33 sections of the bill, there are 10 sections that, in my opinion, in one way or another, deal with the issue of collective bargaining. I think that's problematic. There are 14 sections that deal in one way or another with rule writing, and the fact that we are saying that it's going to take legislative approval to move forward with anything, legislature really has very little, if any, impact on rules once they're established, and I think for me that's problematic. I still have issues with the governance portion of this, knowing full well that community members need to be involved at some point, but I think the governance structure should be those who have risk, and so there, like I said, there are several things that I think still need a whole lot of work, and I'm hoping that we will have the time to do that.
Thank you, Senator. Dr. Bates.
Thank you. First, I do want to thank everybody that's worked so hard on this bill. Our Wednesday night group, which was quite large, and many of you were there for that, and coming from some distances sometimes on those Wednesday nights and staying for 2 or 3 hours while we did the straw man, and then all the good work done in the House and the work that's been done by this committee to get us to this point. Admittedly, the bill needs a little more work. We understand that. There's 23 dashes now, at least that I know of, and there may be more. We will consider those very carefully in Ways and Means, each and every one of them, and work through them carefully. I'm hoping by the time we finish that process, we'll not only move the bill along, but also made the bill better so that it actually can function and do things it's supposed to do. And that's the real question here from my point of view. The unsustainable cost of health care cannot be maintained in this state or anywhere else in the United States. We are simply driving ourselves off a cliff. This is only for Medicaid, but it's a step in the right direction to start integrating health care. I think this, if it's successful, will spread to other parts of health care and drive us to global budgets on a community-based basis that will lead to control of health care costs and better outcomes. And if not this, then what? Simply saying no does not give us an answer. Simply maintaining the status quo does not give us an answer. So this is something that's going to take a lot more work, not only when we finish it in Ways and Means and set up the floors, but when it goes out to be implemented over the next 9 to 10, 12 months. Will it completely close the budget hole in the second half of the biennium? There are questions about that, and I'll be first to admit that. But if we don't make an effort here, there's no chance of closing that without going to Plan B, which I expect would be disenrolling patients. I do not want to do that. Cost shift to the rest of the system, that's always been our cop-out. We can't go there anymore. We have to maintain people inside the system and keep those cost shifts down. So that said, think of the big picture as we move forward here. We got some hard work ahead of us in Ways and Means. It's going to be pretty intense for the next week and a half, but we have to get this done before we can finalize our budgets. And we are expecting to roll those budgets out within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So we're going to be very busy in Ways and Means, and I'm looking forward to the support from my co-chairs there and from all of you in working these multiple amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I could echo the statements of my three previous colleagues, but I would like to expand on what I think is an exceptionally critical piece, is we have made broad assumptions about being able to save money, but yet the bill does not, I believe, adequately address the financial modeling that we need to do to have an understanding of what these assumptions would look like when they're played out. For example, right now we have discrete funding streams to the public sector and to the private sector delivering Medicaid services. We are going to be making substantial reductions to those providers. At the same time, we're creating a coordinated care organization that is predicated upon changing the utilization factors and better management of what I call brittle populations. But yet, we're reducing those provider rates, and I'm not sure how you upstream the savings back to make the providers adequately compensated. And so I would love to see us think more critically about how do we model this to make sure that the assumptions that we, at least not make sure, but to, at the best we can, to understand that this is, in fact, a model that has a good chance of succeeding. So that is one consideration. I think the governance part of the bill needs some more attention. I would like to speak to two amendments that I requested. One has to do with the reimbursements for AB hospitals. The language in the bill as it stands would be a critical error in terms of how those small rural hospitals are compensated. So we do have an amendment with respect to that. The Section 16 that has to do with the cost containment and the role of defensive medicine and medical liability, there was a drafting, essentially, language problem because we were assessing the impacts on the caps on insurance premiums. That's not the intent. That's not the intent. We want to assess the effects of caps on medical liability. And so that's just a minor a minor issue of sorts, but it does need to be addressed. So I would speak very strongly to the need to think about how do we model something that when we bring it back in February, we feel like that we've done the best that we can do, and actually convert that to some kind of financial modeling.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to switch over here to Representative Thompson, please.
Well, I'm going to depart from my normal cheerful self.
Looking forward to it.
How would we know?
I'm not sure you would. I am very, very concerned about this bill. We didn't get it right. We set off to transform health care, and we didn't do that. Of course, we knew we wouldn't do it in one sweep. We did a good job of accepting the budget cuts that are coming. We possibly had no choice in where we are on that. That's going to be draconian at very best, but to me, I think we're in a very precarious position right now. We've raised a guillotine blade to the highest point and taken off the safety and stuffed the Medicaid patients, physicians, hospitals, county health programs, and everybody else under there, and essentially told them, wait for a while till we get back and we're going to see if we can fix this thing. We better fix it, because if that blade falls, healthcare in Oregon is in absolute shambles. I spent part of the day today with some of the smaller rural hospital people, and they are panic-stricken over they're running numbers now and starting to realize what some of us are starting to realize. It isn't doable, and we'd better get this thing right in the next few months. I understand we have a problem with the timing of getting this to Ways and Means, but Ways and Means is not the place to be having the continued policy discussion. So there better be something in place between Ways and Means and next February, or we're going to be in a world of hurt. I'm just not very positive about what we've accomplished. The direction is okay, but we haven't gotten there. And the getting there is what is going to be the problem yet. And on that happy note, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Representative.
Put the cheer into it.
I have very little to say, except I think we've done a lot of good work. The bill's not quite right. We'll do some more work in Ways and Means. I look forward to additional amendments, and I'm optimistic we're on the right path. And I have to say, there's risk in everything we do, but the budget situation doesn't allow us to sit and accept the status quo anymore, and I think we're on the right path.
Co-Chair Greenlink.
Thank you very much. First, I want to thank my co-chairs for the great opportunity to work. It's the first time the three of us have worked together on something, and I think it was really quite amazing. I really enjoyed. We were kept under control because we had adult supervision with Rick, but it really was quite a pleasure, and I want to thank you for the opportunity. I also want to thank Mike Bonetta and Bruce Goldberg, who have been guiding this process from the very beginning, and it's been very difficult. They found themselves in the middle of a lot of awkward situations, and they acquitted themselves with grace and intellect, and that was, I think, very important. I am worried about sending a bill to Ways and Means that needs work. We were given a very rigid time frame by our leaders, and we met our time frame. We were given till the middle of the month. I guess we missed it by one day. That's not bad. But Ways and Means isn't exactly structured for doing policy things, and there may be policy issues that are important here. I mean, we have all sorts of things we haven't necessarily solved, the relationship with the counties and a variety of other things that are very important. If we really believe we're going to integrate mental health and physical health, as we've talked about doing now for just, I've only been here, this is only my fifth term. So if we think we've got it here, I think we haven't. But we'll see. There's a long way to go on that. I also think we have a lot to deal with in terms of our relationship with the hospitals, because such a big part of the cost of health care is in the hospitals. And in the first Wednesday night meeting, I said if we were going to make this work, we were going to have to find a different way for the state to relate to hospitals, and I don't think we've done that in this bill. I think the CCOs or the MCOs on steroids or whoever emerges are still going to have the problem of how do you deal with their negotiations with hospitals, and I don't think we can leave them hanging out. I think that's something that we have to do. We have, I guess also at the end of the first night, the first Wednesday night, I said we have two issues. We have the fact that we are going to cut some 10 to 20% out of our reimbursement rates, and we are going to do that because we don't have any choice but to do that. That's all the money we have, so we are going to do that. And the medical care system is all screwed up and needs transformation, and that's true then and remains to be true. I do not believe where we are going with this, nor did I from the beginning, will we be able to achieve in this next biennium, in the 2011 and 13 biennium, will we be able to achieve enough efficiencies by whatever transformation model we work to essentially completely mitigate the effects of those costs? We are going to eat some terrible costs. We're going to end up with Medicaid people who aren't going to be able to get physician services because there won't be physicians there to serve them, and I think that's what Representative Thompson was saying, and I absolutely second it. But I do think the transformation takes us a step toward the future, and I think that's a very important thing to do, and I hope where we go between now and February, which will both allow us to see the issues of what a CCO is, get specified, the issues of the total basket of funds get specified, the questions of medical malpractice, other things that we've asked OHA to do between now and February, hopefully in consultation with whatever healthcare committees there are in the interim, so that we don't just show up in February saying, oh, that's what you think, that we've had a chance to really talk about some of these things beforehand. We really can move toward how do we transform services in the Oregon Health Plan for the future. And that's really, really important. That has to go on while the chaos of the healthcare shortfall happens. And incidentally, if we don't get the bill right now, the same time we get those reports from OHA and we need to approve the reimbursement methodology and the CCO process and other things, we can amend the bill. We have that time to do between now and February. So I think all of you in the room that have been working with us, you did a great job. You made very clear what was on your mind. We tried to receive it in as best a way as we could, and I think we did a fair job. We have a lot of work to do yet. And I just really have been happy to be a part of this process.
Thank you. Co-Chair Mona Sanders.
Thank you, Co-Chair Freeman. I think the possibilities for a transformation in healthcare are great with the start that we have made. I am so impressed with the bipartisan role that everyone has played, and that means the governor's office, it means the Oregon Health Authority, and it means each one of these members, whatever party you're at. I mean, I feel that the work, I think it's incredible that we have really come forward in trying to address this issue. And it really plays with the role of our leaderships also, the co-speakers and the president, and then our individual health care committees. So I am impressed. I think there have been hiccups on the way, and I am sure there are going to be hiccups in the future. But this is a wonderful start, and I am looking forward to really down the road. It won't be, as I know, the cheerful Representative Thompson and the Eeyore Representative Greenlick. I feel that the possibilities are great, and if we continue working together, I think, and working with the stakeholders, all of you out there, I think we're going to make a big difference in the state of Oregon on how healthcare delivery is delivered. I do have some amendments, and, you know, I have the 11s and the 13s and the 14s and the 16s and the 21 and the 23s, and I'm not going to go through each one of them.
We missed
18 and 17.
And
17. But I feel that under the leadership of Freeman and Kotek and Bates, with input from us people, it'll come out to be a fairly good product. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Great, thank you. And I'll be fairly brief. This experience has been pretty enlightening. I got to learn about stuff that I had no idea was even out there to learn about. I got to spend many nights with my co-chairs till late. I think 10:30 was the late night. Our great committee administrator figured out right away if he brought us candy, we would get along better. And I appreciate that. I do want the stakeholders to know, as you submitted ideas, each and every one of those ideas was put onto a spreadsheet, and we read through those ideas. Nothing was discounted without reading through it. Nothing was missed, and there was no intention to leave people out. That being said, it's quite obvious there's still more work that needs to be done, so don't give up on us. As you can see, there's many ideas for amendments already, and we're going to continue to have to do that work. But with the crunch of the Ways and Means process and that pressure stacking up on top of us, it's pretty important that we get it to the Ways and Means committees. Much of the reason we need to do that, Representative Thompson went over. It is not without notice from the co-chairs of the Subcommittee on Human Service, the incredible difficult times that are ahead of us in healthcare delivery. We are working every day on trying to find additional resources. I like to describe this concept and this bill as a way to help those providers manage what is going to be less money in a way that is somewhat doable. Without this bill, I'm afraid much of what Representative Thompson stated would happen even in the first year of the biennium. So I'm hoping this will give the people out there delivering the services a better chance to absorb those cuts and to find a better way to deliver care and to provide better outcomes. I hope the stakeholders that have to do this work not only continue to work with us in the next few weeks as we hone this bill into what is going to be the final product, but over the interim as the health authority works to bring back ways they're going to do the global budgeting and the governance and many other things we've asked them for, reliability and whatnot. So stay engaged. It is my intent to ask that this committee be the interim committee that hears this stuff. I think it's important the ones of us that started this process continue it. We have not got that approved yet, but I'm hoping my counterparts here will work on the leadership in their chambers to make that happen. And I would say the governor and his staff have been good about being engaged, and it's been interesting to get to know those folks and to work with them. I look forward to continuing that. And with that said, I will ask the committee one more time for any further comments. Seeing none, the special Joint Committee on Healthcare Transformation is adjourned.
Somebody need that.